Matthew this morning. So this morning we want to continue the series we've been having on the Beatitudes. And Jesus is really teaching us how to live a blessed life. And people are still asking that today, like, how do I live? And if we would follow the Beatitudes, we would have the answer to that question. And so we know that the word that Jesus pronounces in each one of these, it's a pronouncement of blessing. We looked at Matthew 5:3, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," for what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So they're blessed. The second blessing, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn." And if you mourn, promise is what? You shall be comforted. So this morning, I want to look at the third blessing, and the third blessing is in verse 5, Matthew 5:5. You can open up your Bibles. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." And if you are meek, the blessing you will receive is what? They shall inherit the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for all that you teach us, God. We want to draw close to you, Lord. We want to know your word. We want to know what it means. And Lord, we want to know how you want us to live while we're here on this earth so that we would bring honor and glory to you. Bless the preaching of your word, Lord. May it go forth, touch the hearts that you want to touch. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said.
Amen.
I want to start with a story. Story that took place back in 1990. The church was here, and we were only about 2 years old. We had about 20 people in our church, and we were meeting over at the Kennebunk Junior High School, and we used their music room. We were a very small church, and we were struggling. But we had a couple in our church, and they were a wonderful couple. They taught Sunday school, and I loved them. They loved me, and they loved the people in the church. Today, I will call them Jack and Jenny. They worked really hard all their lives. Jack was disabled. He had a tragic work-related accident, and he was unable to work. And the workplace he was at was really unsafe, and from that point on, he was confined to a wheelchair. Jenny, his wife, was a wonderful lady, and she would just keep going, and she would just keep working to keep the house going. They really had nothing. They were quite poor, but they had a lot of hope. The hope was that one day their legal case would come to a big financial settlement. And so they prayed and they waited for 5 years. And during that 5 years, they lived very, very simply. Then one Sunday, a car we did not recognize pulled up into the parking lot. It was a brand new white Cadillac. We were all standing outside in the parking lot while the car pulled up, and I wondered, who is in that beautiful car? All of a sudden, the passenger slide door flung open, and this woman was standing there in a beautiful mink coat. I didn't recognize who she was. Her hair was all done up. Her shoes and her dress were all shiny, and she had this huge diamond ring on her finger. I looked into her face closely, and I was stunned. It was Jenny. She was totally transformed. Gone was all of her gray hair. Gone was the beat-up 1980 Chevy they drove. She stood there looking at me like a millionaire. Out of the other side of the car came Jack. Jack was in a new motorized wheelchair. He had a brand-new leather coat on. And he had a hand-carved cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. I hardly recognized him. Well, the congregation got really excited, and Ginny explained to us that Jack's settlement had come in. It was more than he expected, and so they decided to go on a spending spree. The sky was the limit. Then they did something I will never forget. Jack, in the middle of the people were surrounding the car, came up to me and he said, Pastor, Jenny and I want to tithe our settlement to the church. Here you are. Use it for whatever you want. God has well taken care of us. And we know and we want to honor God in what he has done for us. So we want to give you the tithe. We pray that the Lord would use it. We were ecstatic. We had bills. We didn't have much money, but that check was going to help us. Jack and Jenny traveled the next year, and we didn't see them much at church. They did a lot of vacationing. Then one day, they showed up in my office. They looked different. Gone was the mink coat, and all the shiny shoes were gone. I looked outside. No new car. They were black in the old Chevy. Jenny's diamond was gone. She didn't have it anymore. I was shocked. Most importantly, as I looked at them, their joy was gone. Their love for God was gone, and their peace was gone. And they sat down. They looked around, and they said to me, Pastor, Jenny and I are here because we want our money back. Do you remember the money I gave you from the settlement? We want it back. I was shocked. I said, what's going on? I don't understand. You gave that as a tithe. You said you were honoring the Lord with your money. You knew what the Lord had done was from him. You wanted to thank him. I don't understand. He said to me, well, Pastor, if you remember, Jenny and I gave you that money for the building fund so you could get a new building. And we're looking around, and the building isn't up yet. We want our money back. I was shocked. I was upset. I looked at him and I said, you didn't give that money to the building fund. You gave that money as a tithe. You didn't specify that. He said, oh, yes, Pastor, I did. If you look at the check, it says building fund on that memo. And he showed me, brought in the memo to Messiah Christian Church at the bottom. He said building fund. Showed me the check. We want our money back. Well, at this point, when he produced the original check, there it was. Building fund was written in his handwriting on that memo, on the check. I was stunned and I was totally confused. I don't even remember any of this, I said to him. I told them I would look into it and get back. And they left without a word, but they said they wanted their money back. I have a pastor and a board, so I called my pastor and my board, and we prayed. And then I decided we needed to get more information. It was bothering me in my mind that I just couldn't remember this. So I went back to the bank, our bank, and I said to them, I'd like to find that check. And back in the 90s, they did keep some records, and guess what? We found the check. And I looked in the memo, and it didn't say building fund. It said, praise God, we give this tithe to the Lord. There was no mention of building fund. Jack had lied to me, and he fabricated the check. And why? Well, I soon learned, as you might all suspect, he blew the entire settlement that he had in about 1 year. And found out that he was destitute, worse off than he was before. So here was the question. What should we do as a church? It didn't feel right for me to just hand them back the tithe money that they had given, because I knew they had given it as a tithe and they wanted to honor the Lord. But I want to ask you, what would you do? What would you do? Have you ever, you have every right to defend yourself, okay? You are right. Should you defend yourself? Or maybe you're just a fighter and you always just need to defend yourself no matter what happens in your life and you choose to fight always. You need to be sure that you're right, that you're protected, and that you're heard. Whether it's in your marriage or your job or relationships, you need to be right. You are emotional, and your emotions are in control of you. Sound familiar? Jesus is going to talk about this topic today. It's called the Beatitudes. I want you to understand the background when Jesus said these words. Because when those people heard those words, they were in total shock. Let me explain. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," they did not want to hear that. For sure, they did not want to hear that. You see, the Jewish people were in bondage. They were slaves to the Romans. They wanted to get out of bondage, and they wanted to have their Messiah bring them out of bondage. When Jesus comes and says to them in Matthew 4:17, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," they got so excited. They were so ecstatic. To them, the political or the miraculous conquering power that Jesus had to overcome the Romans, to restore the land back to them, to have the glories of all the prophecies of God fulfilled, to have Jesus have an army and say, "We're going to take our army and we're going to set you all free," the people went crazy. But the truth is, God's plan was not anything like that. Amen?
Amen?
It was a tremendous disappointment to the people. They knew Jesus had the power. They knew Jesus could do miracles. The only problem was, he wasn't going to fulfill their agenda. He wasn't going to do that. And the first clue? Matthew 5:5. And the first clue is what? Blessed are the meek. Wow. It's not what they wanted to hear. I believe it's why they killed him. But you know what? How many of you know today people still have a problem with this verse? Many people today would have a hard time accepting the words of Jesus. Couldn't he have said, "Blessed are the strong, blessed are the arrogant, blessed are the prideful, blessed are you if you're self-confident"? Why didn't he say that? Why did he say, "Blessed are the meek"? Many people would have a hard time with this sermon today. So, I wanted to give you a little bit background about what was really happening there. And I really want to talk to you today about the question. And I want to look at it, and the question is, we have to ask, is what is meekness? Our thinking, a meek person is a sad person. On the periphery, someone who is defined even by modern dictionaries as deficit in spirit and deficit in courage. Oh my goodness. That's what the dictionary would tell you the meaning of the word is. But I have good news for you. That is not Jesus' definition of the word meek. Amen?
Amen.
The Greek word here is praos, P-R-A-O-S. And do you know what it means? Here's what it means when he says, "Blessed are you if you're meek." What he's saying is, it means power under control. Let's say it. What does it mean? Power under control. That is what Jesus was calling for. It would be like this farmer. Look at this farmer here. The word would be used in describing a colt that needs to be broken, whose strength and power could be channeled. And channeled for good. Look at the picture. You see the horse. You see, all the power is still there. All the strength is still there. But it's not self-assertive, is it? No. The meek person has yielded control, just like the horse, to somebody else. Do you understand? This is what Jesus is speaking about for us. Power under control. I want to make no mistake. Meekness is not weakness. Let's say it. Meekness is not weakness. A person who is being controlled by God, who is under God's control, can be harnessed, and his or her life can be of great use to God and all God's people said.
Amen.
A person whose life is out of control, think of the opposite. If the person's life is out of control, they live for themselves. They create havoc towards themselves, towards their families, and anyone around them. It is not power in under God's control. It is power out of control, and it is destructive. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Meekness means this person gives up his power. Meekness means this person says, I'm not here for my agendas. Meekness says, not my will, not my purpose, not my goals, not my dreams, not my ambitions. I am under the control of my God. That is a meek person. They actually know that God has a better plan and God's kingdom is a greater kingdom. Think of it. Would you say you're meek? You are under God's control. You have given up your dreams, your visions, your purpose in life. You've given it up. You are no longer in control of your life. If you could say that, you would be called by Jesus meek, and you would be blessed. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know. It's quite a statement to make. My life is under God's control, not my own. I don't know if you could say that. But I want to say that a meek person is willing to give up anything and everything in this world. Isn't that awesome? Meek. Blessed are you if you're meek. You have given up everything for me. Wow. You see, a meek person has to die to himself. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew 16:24, if any one of you wants to come after me, your first requirement is what? You must deny yourself. If you want to come after me. Do you know what self-denial means? It means you deny your own self-lordship. You are not God. You are not the Lord of your own life. And blessed are you if you could say that. You are not in control. You have surrendered to God. He controls your life. You have no right to yourself anymore. You have been bought with a price, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't even go near trying to tell God what you think he needs to do for you. You have no right to do that. He bought you. You belong to him. Blessed are you if there's any man or woman who is meek. Wow. Back to my story about Jack and Ginny and the check. Jack and Ginny got progressively more aggravated with us. Aggravated, aggressive. Even when I brought out the original check from the bank that said tithe to the Lord, he still maintained that the check I gave him was a fraud and the one he wrote was the truth. I did not feel good about it. I want to tell you, for a small church struggling financially to pay our bills, I was like, Lord, help me. What shall I do? But after much prayer and counsel, we asked God, what does it mean to be meek in this situation? I mean, that's a good question. What's the question? What does it mean to be meek in this situation? Pastor Allen and the board had an intense time of prayer. And when we meet as a board, our meetings usually aren't about business. It's about the Lord's business. We normally get on our hands and our knees and we pray. I said, let's pray what to do about this. even though we were right, even though we were troubled and hurting, God was directing us, and we had to trust Him. When we stood up off of our knees, we knew what to do. Give the money back. So I called Jack to tell him our decision. He didn't want to talk with me anymore. He just said, send me the money. So I wrote Jack a little note. Jack, we love you. We have done nothing wrong, but we want to love you and we want to bless you. You take your money. I did that and moved on. Until one day, 10 years later. This is a hard story for me to tell. But I want to remind you, and that is number two, not only what it is, but I want you to know the example's been set for you. And the example of meekness has been set for you by Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus was meek. Jesus said, and I love this, in John 6:38, think about this. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. I have come down to do the will of my Father. Can you imagine? What Jesus did was what? He yielded his power to his Father. I've yielded my power to the purposes of God. I've yielded up to God's control of my life. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? I've yielded up. He's in control. I'm here for Him. I only do what He tells me to do. True meekness, isn't it? This is the way Jesus lived. Jesus yielded His power up to the control of God. Don't think Jesus was weak either, please. How many know Jesus wasn't weak?
Amen.
How many know Jesus was strong? Jesus was powerful. There are times Jesus spoke words that were really hard. Jesus went into the temple and He cleansed it. Can you imagine that? Do you understand what strength it took to clean that temple and to throw them all out? He blasted anyone who was religious. Oh, you're a religious person. And He went after them like, get out of here. We want no religious people. He condemned the religious leaders of the land. He called them hypocrites. He faced mockery. He faced people spitting on Him and persecuting Him. And all the time He was what? All the time He was what? Meek. What? What's meek? Power under control. Yes, it's a different side, but it's still God's power under control. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, Jesus has all the power in the world in the palm of His hands. Clearly He does, amen? But what does He do? He lets people spit on Him. He let people beat Him up. The very people He came to save murder Him. Jesus was meek, and His power was contained by the purposes and the plan of His Father, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Meekness is not a lack of conviction. Meekness is not some wishy-washy thing. Weakness is not some benign gentleness to everybody. It's none of that. Be clear. It is coming under the authority and the power of God, yielding up to God. Lord, what do You want me to do with my life? You call it, Lord. I'll follow. That is meekness. Wow. Think of this. I want you to see this picture. This is meekness right there. That soldier taking that nail and nailing him to the cross is what? What is it? It's meekness. How many of you would have done that? Or how many of you would have said, I'd rather yell at him and scream at him and swear at him, tell him to stop? Jesus doesn't do any of that, guys. Why? He knew something was more important than showing his anger towards that man who nailed him to the cross. Do you know that? Do you have any idea about that? That there is something more important? Jesus came to save the man who nailed him to the cross. Not to yell at him and scream at him. He came to do what? To save the man. Wow. I believe Jesus realized there must be something more important than being angry with that man. You see, I wonder about you. Do you defend yourself at every chance you get? Are you the type of person, if someone speaks strong words to you, you have to speak strong words to them? If they're angry at you, you get angry at them. If they don't like you, you don't like them. Do you not know that there is something more important than that going on in your life? Do you not know that God has a purpose? Do you not know that? Or have you forgotten? Jesus does not bless. He doesn't say, blessed are the powerful who curse back. He doesn't say that. The blessed person is not the one who is subject to their emotions. Please hear me. You are not blessed if you are subject to your emotions. The blessed person has submitted their emotions to God, and those emotions are not controlled by you. Those emotions are controlled by God. If you are meek, if you are meek. This is pretty heavy, isn't it? You want to know how to live? Live meekly. You will be blessed. I was thinking of Pilate in John chapter 18. I want you to see this picture. You see that man there? That man meets Jesus. And that man thinks he's got power. And that man thinks he's in control. And that man is self-righteous. And he's standing before his Savior, who is the Son of God, who has power to destroy the man. Correct? And what is Jesus to the man? Does he respond in bitterness? You are not in control? Listen to what he says to the man. In John 18, 36, Jesus says to him, Pilate, who thinks he's in control, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, if this were my kingdom, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by these Jewish leaders. But I want you to know, Pilate, my kingdom is of another place. Amen. My kingdom is greater than what you think you have. And guess what? At that point, would you not say that Jesus offered Pilate meekness? Because if it was you or me, maybe you would have destroyed the man. Maybe you would have argued with him. Maybe you would have said, you don't know who you are. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He knows there's something greater at stake. Wow. I see that Pilate is us. I think I got my life together. I'm doing it my way. Some of you are operating in the meekness of God today. Because if he wasn't meek, he'd destroy you because of your own arrogance and pride and selfishness. And you're still living for yourself. You should thank God he's meek towards you because he should take your life.
Amen.
Do you understand? That is the truth. I thank God for his meekness. It's this time I've asked Lee Ross to come and share a story about her life. Lee?
Drugs, Satan's bane. Did I just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll become a drug addict today? Nope. I was so desperate to fill the abyss in my heart where a father's love should have been. I turned to my peers for acceptance and love, who, by the way, were mostly raging drug addicts. So I happily skipped into the maniacal world and reveled in all it had to offer. Pseudo-love and very poor life choices, all wrapped up in the guise of treacherous fake friends, indulging in poisonous temporary elation. Yep, I was out of control and ballistic, following my own way. Guilt, shame, and shattered heart were my only true constant companions, or so I thought. But while I was still a long way off, my lovesick heavenly father saw me. He ran to me, threw his arms around me, and kissed me. Although I insisted I was unworthy, he replied, "You were dead, and I brought you back to life. You were lost, and I found you again. So now we celebrate." It was my heavenly father's love that showed me how bankrupt my earthly father's love had been. Once I gave the anger, disappointment, and heartbreak into his hands, he reminded me of where my earthly father had been, and my heart broke again, but this time it was for him. Forgiveness and compassion washed away the bitterness and pain, and I haven't used in 35 years. Doesn't mean I don't still have stuff to work on, don't get me wrong. I thank you, my Lord and God, that you never give up on me and never will. Deuteronomy 31:6. I will be strong and courageous. I will not be terrified because of them, for the Lord my God goes with me. He will never leave me or forsake me. So I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
When her father didn't love her and abused her, when she turned towards the Lord, what is that? Meekness. When she met the Lord of her life, who was meekness to her? I believe the Lord said to her, "You don't have to fight to be loved anymore. Know how much I love you. Let it go and let me take care of you." She was in touch with a meek God who gave her the right advice to do what she needed to do and to experience true love that she never got from her own father. That is called what? Meekness. It is what? Power under control. And it is awesome. I want to talk about the inheritance for those of us, of you, who walk this way. The inheritance, if you are a meek person and give God full control of your life, stop living for yourself. The Bible says, what's the promise? If you are meek and you let God take full control of your life, what's the promise? You shall inherit the earth. I looked up this word inherit in the Greek. Very, very important, as is the word meek. The Greek word here is kleronomio, and it actually means, for those of us who are meek, it means to receive an allotted portion. It means to receive that which is apportioned or allotted to you by God. Does that not excite you? It does me. He has a reward for those who are meek. He has an allotted portion for you. We can only be meek willing to control our desire for our own rights and privileges because we are confident, and I say this strongly, you must be confident that God will watch out for you. And that when you are meek, he will protect your case. He will go ahead of you. He will walk with you. He will strengthen you. He will design the circumstances around it to bring you to where he wants to. Without that, you have nothing. Jesus does promise you shall inherit the earth. Proves that God will not allow his meek ones to end up on the short end of the deal. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may have to wait, but I say to you today, walk in meekness and let the Lord do the work. You will not end up on the short end of the deal. You will not. It is the promise of God for you. You see, the influence of the meek and God-controlled is in the long run greater than that person who acts out of their emotion, who goes by their own impulses, who is passionate about something, but it's not of God, it's of yourself. You will be destroyed. You see, there's serenity when people know the power of meekness to help them find the maximum true joy in every circumstance of life, every circumstance of life. For the meek, the earth is not a stage for self-assertion, grasping for what you want. I saw a man the other day, it was in the paper. He's at the end of his life and money is coming out and the man is jumping up and he's grabbing all the money he could get, only the next second to go down and plunge into the gates of hell. That's what it's like today. You have an inheritance, amen? And it's not one you'll gain on your own. It is one that will come from your Father. Wow. Well, one day, back to my story, 2005, I was sitting here in this church on this beautiful piece of property, looking at this beautiful facility God has given us, and there was a knock on my door. I opened it, and Jack was on the outside of the door. He looked old, sick, worn out. When I looked at him, I didn't even know who he was. I was shocked. I had been 10 years since that phone call and when I mailed that check back to him. He looked at me and said, Pastor, can I see you? I said, sure. I sat down next to his wheelchair and he started. Pastor, I am here on behalf of Ginny and myself to apologize to you and Rosemary and the board and the church for what we did. I forged the check. I lied to you, straight out. You were right all the time. We didn't have any right to that money. That money belonged to God. We gave it to you freely and without any specificity. But Pastor, in that year, after we got the settlement, we went downhill. Our life fell apart spiritually, physically, and emotionally. In every way, we lost all perspective. We blew the entire settlement of that money. We're not proud of the people we are today. We did things in that year that make us cringe now to see all the people I hurt in doing what I did. Most of the people we hurt us back. They did terrible things back to us. It has been the longest 10 years of my life. We lost our friends, we lost part of my family, but most of all, I lost my own dignity. But there was one group of people who were so gracious to us, Pastor. It was you. It was you and the board. It was you and that church. He had that card I had wrote to him. He pulled out the card that I wrote to him 10 years ago. And he read to me what I said to him. I said, and he said, we give this check to you, not agreeing that what we did was wrong, but purely out of the grace and love that we have for you. May God bless you with this check. He looked at me and said, you are the only ones that have loved me. And in everything that has happened in the past 10 years, we have known that God is love and that he would take us back simply because we saw the love in you and were motivated that God might take me back for my sinfulness because of what you did to me that day. It gave me hope. Thank you for taking me back. Thank you for not fighting with me when you knew you were right and I was wrong. Thank you for not fighting with me. Thank you for following God. And then he said, will you forgive me? I grabbed him. I said, I love you. I've always forgiven you. I've never held anything on to this. And he sobbed like I've never heard a man cry. He sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and cried. Our inheritance? Yes, right there. We got our inheritance right there. Do you understand? There is something greater than money. I've got this man's soul. The Lord got him back. Would you be meek? Or would you be complaining and grappling and fighting to get your rights all the time, missing out on how God called you to live? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit this earth. I remember sitting next to that chair with him, feeling his tears. He hugged me, I hugged him, I loved him, but I knew I had my allotted portion. I had joy, I had peace. I knew that what we did was right, even when it was so hard to do, even when I wanted to fight. I'm glad he directed me. I'm glad that man is with the Lord. It was worth it. It was worth it. This morning, in closing, I'd like to ask you, are you meek at all? Is there any meekness in you at all? You know, we do experience pain, and we have a lot of opposition, and we've been abused, and we've been hurt. Yes, that happens to everyone. My question to you is, are you meek? Are you God's power under control? Or are you out of control, living for yourself, trying to figure it out? Jesus is very clear. Blessed are you. Are you meek before God? Do you even go to God when things don't go your way? Do you seek the meekness of God? Do you let God take the meekness that is in him and give it to you so that as you live life, you respond meekly to other people? Do you live that way at all? Or are you so far from God, living in this world, being embraced by this culture, thinking you're right when you are totally wrong in the sight of God? It's very easy. You go to God and you ask God to forgive you. You say to God, I am not a weak person. I have no meekness in me. I'm still living for myself, Lord. Please forgive me. The meekness of God will forgive you. He's not going to yell at you. All he wants you to do is come to him. Come to him. Will you do that today? Could you guys play? If you're here today and you're struggling with this, maybe you're in a relationship right now and What's pulling at you is self. Live for yourself. Do what you want. You deserve everything. Everybody owes me. I say to you, you're wrong in the sight of God. You are far, far from God with that attitude. Admit it. Tell God you're not meek at all. You're still trying to control your own life. But give Him your life. Just like Lee did. In going to God, God gave her the words. Strength under power, not out of control, like so many people in this world are today. Don't be one of them. Be a child of God who knows how to live on this earth for Jesus Christ in the midst of this world that is totally in chaos. Will you live that way? You know how to live. You've heard this word preached to you. You know it. Some of you are going to walk out of here and say, you know what? I'm going to live for myself. You are making the biggest mistake of your life. Some of you today would say, I know I'm not living for Christ. Come to the Lord. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. My burden is light. Take that upon you. I love you and I'm with you. Walk that way in this world. If you're here today, you want to come before a meek Savior, knowing He is fully in control and He knows exactly what you need. Come to Him. Let Him give it to you. Be meekness of heart in you. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not the kind to get up. Well, that's fine. Sit where you are. But ask yourself the question, are you meek? Or are you still in control of your own life, saying what you want, doing what you want, living how you want? Ask God to forgive you if you're living that way. Just come before God these 40 days and say, Lord, check my heart out, God. See if there's anything inside me that's wrong. Point it out to me, God. You are a meek God, so that my power may be all under you, and I'm living for you. Let's just take a moment and reflect on the words of Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.